Again, if you'll join me in the book of Luke, we'll continue on this path that our Lord is taking his disciples. He's just moments away, right on the cusp of coming, of doing what he came to this world to do, and that is to give himself for his people. To be the sacrifice for his chosen children. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And they come to him because the Spirit calls them in the day of his love. This path that our Lord is on and teaching his disciples, we're specifically looking into what Peter himself may be learning from this. We know that Peter wrote two epistles, 1 and 2 Peter, and eventually we want to come to that point where when we look into those epistles, we can see what Peter has gone through and experienced, what the Lord has taught him through experience, and what brought him to that point of where he writes those two epistles. We're in the 21st chapter. And in our last study, we saw the Lord in his infinite wisdom look past the question of when the destruction of the temple would be. In verse 5, we read, "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he, our Lord, said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be one, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And then in verse 7 we read, "And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" Our Lord looked past that question, the destruction of when the destruction of the temple would be, by his apostles, and instead he gave them a warning to consider, a warning of false Christ who come into this world in the name of Jesus, those who come preaching another gospel, like the ones who came to Galatia, to the Galatian people, and began to mix works with religion and grace. We read in Galatians 1 verse 6, "I marvel," Paul says to the Galatians, "that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Folks, I tell you, grace and works cannot go together. Plain and simple, grace is unmerited favor. If you have worked for something, then you have earned it. If you have made a decision for Jesus, then you have earned his... You accept that he owes you salvation because you've accepted him. Grace and mix do not go together. It is either one or the other. They do not mix. We read in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Plain and simple, right? We are either saved by God's grace alone, or we are yet dead in our trespasses and sin. God in his grace either calls a lost sinner unto himself, or he passes by and he leaves them to themselves. In Romans 9 verse 15 we read this, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." God the Father alone chose a people unto himself. God the Son alone purchased this people for himself. And God the Spirit alone regenerates and calls the elect people unto himself. In Romans 8:29 we read this, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." Salvation is of the Lord, and it is of the Lord alone. This morning, Let us look once again at verse 9 of Luke chapter 21. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Now here, folks, we are to watch and look for him to come. He can come at any moment. How many are running around this world this very moment saying, oh, the end of the world is here. Look at this virus that affects the whole world. Even some of God's preachers have pointed out in some of their messages, look how this has affected all the world. If you look at it on a map, you see all the red dots. It's all over the place. It really has. Yet we must never begin to think. Yes, we should continue to look for the appearance and for our Lord to come again soon. Yet we must never begin to think of a time that the time of the end is immediately at hand. We know of a preacher just recently who thought that and tried to preach that very often. His name was Harold Camping. He preached the end over and over and over again. And how many followed that man until the day that he claimed it would be, and then it wasn't? Harold Camping wasn't the first one to do that. Many have come in that very same thing and done that very same thing. Let us never, never try to predict the time. Our Lord tells us right here in verse 9, but the end is not by and by. We're going to see all kinds of things go on around us. There might even be a time when we have volcanoes erupt. We have earthquakes come up. We have tidal waves come up. Men are at war with each other. We're in our own country. It may be coming down a lot. I'm telling you, folks, these things have all happened many times together over many years, but behind. And yet the Lord has not come back yet. Oh, how I want to be be there when the Lord comes back. But I don't look for that time as tomorrow or the next day. You know why? Because it will come when the Lord wants it to come. And for whatever reason the Lord is delaying right now, I'm going to assume that it's because one of his children, because there's one of his sheep, not of this flock, who must hear the gospel preached. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a son or a daughter or a brother or a sister. I know this, that when the time comes, it'll be a good time, because that's the time the Lord wanted it to be. And everything our Lord does is good. We are to watch for him with anxious, hopeful expectation. Yet we are to patiently wait for him, serving him with diligence and perseverance, with an eye to the generation that is before us right now. We never know who's going to come through that church, those church doors, the building, and come in here to hear the gospel. We never know who the Lord is going to cross paths with to any one of you. Oh, what is that hope that you're speaking of? What a wonderful thing for you to say in the times that we have right now. Where do you hear that? Well, I hear that in God's Word. Come to church with me and hear what the Lord says through His Word. We never know when the Lord might do something like that. We are to serve our Lord with an eye for this generation and for the future generations that may be influenced by us. Until Christ returns, troubles are sure and will only increase. Troubles in the world, persecutions against the gospel, and all who worship and faithfully serve our Lord, those troubles will come. Read along with me in verses 10, 11, and 12. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. The things that we read in verse 12, our Savior says, shall turn to you for a testimony. They supply us with a great opportunity to confess the Lord and Savior of all that is before men. We have an opportunity to proclaim to this wicked and perverse generation the glorious gospel of God's free and saving grace. And we are not left to come up with something to say on our own, it says. He has in His word given us the mouth of wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. Not the wonders that we see before us. Not the wonders and the signs that our Lord graciously gives us, but Christ Jesus Himself is our wisdom. It says in Philippians 1:29, "For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." In 1 Peter 2:21 through 25, we read this, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who is his own self, bare our own sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." And then next we read in verse 13 again through 15, "And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which your adversary shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." What did I do here? I went back and read something again twice, didn't I? Okay. "Though we may be betrayed, hated, and persecuted for the Christ that we believe in, and sometimes even put to death for Christ's sake, God's saints are always perfectly safe in His omnipotent hands and shall never suffer any harm or injury of any kind." In verses 16 and 18, we read this, "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish." Folks, that's just as sure. That's just as sure as our Lord's promise, "I shall never leave you nor forsake you." That's a promise from God Himself. We have God's word to lean on. This is what we lean on when we go out into this world and everybody is in panic around us. We lean on God's word, not our own feelings, not what we see with our eyes, not what we see going around us, but what God's word is. I have faith that Jesus will keep His word when He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, or not a hair on my head shall be harmed." This body might suffer persecution, but when it comes right down to it, our souls are perfectly safe in His hands. He shall have a people, and that people shall have Him to be their God. No ifs, no ands, no buts. It shall come to pass. Those for whom He died are just in Him. We have God's word to lean on, for it is written, there shall no evil happen to the just. It shall be well with the righteous. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness that He has imputed to us. As our sins were laid on our Savior, His righteousness was imputed to us. Those for whom His blood was shed are righteous in Him. Those for whom He died are just in Him. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, we read this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. David, a man after God's own heart, was he not persecuted in this world? Imagine what he thought when the man, and he loved Saul. We see that in God's word. King Saul. When Saul threw a spear across the room and it stuck in the wall right next to David. Imagine what he thought when that happened. You talk about persecution. That had to be persecution, don't you think? Yet David could write these very words, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. The one who leads me is the one who leads me by still waters. How about you? The still waters and the peace of our Lord and Savior, that He is sovereign over all things. Next we read in verses 19 through 24. In your patience possesses ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and the wrath upon this people. And if they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and if they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. What our Lord Jesus is teaching us here in the midst of these troublesome times is, in your patience possess ye your souls. Folks, enjoy yourselves. Enjoy our God and Savior for what He has done and for what He is doing for us. Let this disturbance that we see now, or any other disturbance that we might see in the world around us, this world is not our home. As Abraham was in a tent, traveling around, so are you and I. We are the seed of Abraham. We are the promised seed of Abraham. We don't have a home here on this earth. Our home is in heaven. That's where we're going to. This is just the path that God has given us to travel on our way to that home. Think about that for a moment. Yeah, I know. We go through a lot of tough things here. There is a lot of troubles. But we can enjoy the world around us, and to some extent even the troubles of the world around us. Let nothing disturb or distress us. We possess that peace and joy in our souls which the world cannot take away. In Romans 5:3, we read God's word says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience. You and I have no idea what real tribulation is, to be quite honest with you. Maybe I'm wrong about you, but I know about me. I have no idea what real tribulation is. We have so much comfort in this country that we live in. God has blessed us so greatly. Paul knew what tribulation was. It was obvious that people wanted to kill him just for what he preached. Look at how you and I can walk through this world today around us and speak openly about who our God is, and nobody bothers us at all. Oh, you're one of those Calvinist people. Oh, go and rant on your sovereign God. In Romans 5, verse 4, we read this, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It is our Father, by His Spirit, that comes to us and gives us that hope, that when we see all these things around us, we know who we can turn to for our peace. We can turn to our Savior. It is the Spirit that keeps us. In Romans 11, 5, 25, we read this, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest any of you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, and to the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Our Lord also tells us that we are to possess our souls in this patience of grace and faith and peace until all of His elect be gathered into His kingdom. A man by the name of William Cooper wrote these encouraging, comforting words. "God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purpose will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure error, folks. And scan His works in vain, God His own interpreter, and He will make it plain." In Luke chapter 21, verses 13 through 15, again I read, "And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord alone. He'll give you what to say when the door is open for you to say it. Amen.